a study was done, and people were asked, how much money do you need to be content? And across the board, no matter what income level you were at, it was always 25% more. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we can take nothing out of it either. Did you bring anything into the world? I heard someplace where there's a funeral home that they sell suits to put on dead people before they put them. And the suits they sell don't have any pockets in them. That makes sense? We brought nothing into the world, so we can take nothing out either. If we have food and covering, for these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. And it is so true, and we see it all over the place. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things, you men of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight. And we get so wrapped up in trying to, because of our discontentment, in trying to get more things or to be somebody different, or to change the circumstances around us. I shared that I had an opportunity recently to visit a friend of Johnny Erickson Tata's in the local hospital here. She's been in a wheelchair for I think 30 some years. And she can't feed herself. She can't blow her own nose. She can't wipe away her own tears. And yet there's a contentment on her face. That is incredible. And there's a contentment on her husband's face that is incredible, because he's there and he has to do all those things for her. After her accident, she went on and got a master's degree, and she teaches at a school, she does counseling at a school and all that. And you look at that and say, would I be content were I in that chair? Does she struggle with it? I'm sure she does. Would I get to that point where I could have the infectious enthusiasm that she and her husband have as we visited? The word content is really, that's a different word. It means self-sufficient. It was a favorite word, and this is the only time it's used in Scripture. It's a favorite word of the Stoics. And the Stoics come in and they, you know, they don't let anything bother them, and they're Stoic. Does that make sense to you? They're Stoic, and so there's a self-sufficiency, and they're, you know, I'm going to take care of myself, and I'm not going to let anything bother me, and I'm not going to, when bad things happen, I'm not going to react, and there's almost a, they don't even smile, and they don't cry, and they, you know, just everything just comes their way. That's not what Paul is calling us to. But he uses that word in the sense that there's a contentment that comes because I'm free from worries that are brought on from the circumstances of life. The Stoics' contentment came out of pride. Paul's contentment came out of faith. He says, whatever these circumstances are, and when you think through the life of Paul, and you think through some of the circumstances that he went through, in terms of beatings, in terms of abuse, in terms of arresting, and when he's writing this, of course, he's sitting in a prison, and he's being chained to guards, and all of this, and all of that, and he says, I have learned to be content. Contentment is not a function based on the circumstances that we have to deal with in life. Contentment is an attitude we choose as we go through life. Some of the people who have the worst circumstances in life, like Tamara, who I just described, are content. And there's some people who have everything in life you would want materially and that type of thing are as discontent as can be. It's not a circumstance in life, it's a choice. And it goes back to what we learned last week. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which is a function of contentment, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And he lists those things that we talked about, being honorable and right and pure and lovely and good repute. If there's excellent, anything worthy of praise. As we think through that whole process, as there's a heart of thanksgiving, and a big part of it is that heart of gratitude that we have, that's a big part of contentment. He says, I've learned to be content. Then he gives some examples here, or just some contrast. He talks about humble means. He talks about being hungry. He talks about suffering need. And those circumstances, he says, I've learned to be content. Then he talks about prosperity and being filled and having abundance. And in those circumstances, he said, I've learned to be content. It takes as much grace to be content in prosperity as it does to be content in need. And he says, I've learned, when it goes either way, to realize this is what God is providing for me and I can enjoy it, and I need to be content with what God has given me in the circumstances. And begins with a heart of gratitude. And it goes back to, what do we value in life? If we value things, contentment will never be there. And oftentimes we're discontent with our relationships we're in. So it can be things.